Tonight, for our Bible study, if you need the word, I want us to sing together Trust and Obey, the first verse of Trust and Obey. If you need it, it's 418 in the book. The words are, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. And then the chorus, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sing it with me, would you? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thank you. I can't think of any better example of what that song talks about than Mary and Joseph and their example to us in the Christmas story. I think they were a young couple that had plans. And again, I'm going to touch a little bit on what we talked about Sunday morning and what the children illustrated for us Sunday morning in the program. But I think they were a young couple that had plans. They planned to have to get married. I think they planned to have children. I think they planned to continue the simple life that they lived in the city of Nazareth. And Joseph was a carpenter, and their friends and family were there. But God has something else in mind for them, something extraordinary. And even if God had come to them before all this started to happen, before Mary got pregnant and all this other stuff, and God said, hey, now, a couple years from now, this is what's going to happen, they wouldn't have believed Him. I mean, it was hard enough for them to believe it as it was unfolding. But I just remind you tonight, and it doesn't matter how old you are. I know some people, when I say this, well, preacher, that's true for the young children. It doesn't matter how old you are tonight. God still has a plan for your life. If he was done with you down here, if there was nothing else that He wanted you to accomplish, I think He would take you to heaven. The fact that you're still here tonight means that He has a plan for your life, just like He did for Mary and Joseph. Now, sometimes His plan for our life doesn't necessarily agree with the plans that we might have for our life. I mean, again, you know, if you're older like me, we're pretty set in our ways. We think our life, you know, we know how it's going to unfold from here. Because, I mean, you know, we're past having to make decisions. I mean, you know, basically where we're going to live, what we're going to do. I mean, and again, I'm not saying that God couldn't call even somebody as old as I am to someplace else. But I don't expect that to happen. But what I expect doesn't matter. God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. Sometimes He works that plan through the normal course of life. I mean, the everyday routine of life. Other times, He works it in an extraordinary way. And again, when God reveals His plan to us, whether it agrees with our plan for our lives or it doesn't, we need to follow the example that Joseph and Mary set for us in the Christmas story. We need to trust God, and we need to be obedient. Now, we're going to talk about Joseph tonight. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to study verses 18 through 25 tonight. But I would tell you, everything I'm going to tell you about Joseph applies to Mary. I mean, we could take the time and we could go back. I mean, when Gabriel came to her, I guess I'm going to take the time. When Gabriel came to her and said, you know, and told her, Mary, you're going to have a little baby boy. And she said, how can this be? I've not known man. And the angel Gabriel explained to her that the Holy Ghost was going to come up on her and it was going to be the child of God. What did Mary do? She started rejoicing. She started singing. I mean, she just trusted God. We find no record of her asking any questions, no record of her arguing with God. She just trusted God and just waited for it to happen. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But look at, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 1, we'll start with verses 18 and 19, where the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." Now, first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1, Matthew provides a genealogy. He did it to establish, it says in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He was showing that the Christ child that he was going to talk about the birth of, starting in verse 18, was a child of promise. Jesus was an answer to the promise, or a fulfillment to the promise that God made Abraham when he said that through his seed all the world would be blessed. He was also the fulfillment of the promise that God made to David, that one of his seed was going to sit on his throne forever. And so when Matthew says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ," and I want you to notice, I'm going to mention three names are used in these verses of Scripture that describe the Son of God, Christ, Savior, and Emmanuel. And we'll talk about them when we get there. But Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. Messiah. And Matthew was beginning to lay the foundation when he says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ," he was going to show that Jesus Christ was the promised Son of God, the Messiah, the one the Jews were looking for. He said, "So now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." I'm going to tell you how it came about. I'm going to tell you how it unfolded. When Mary was espoused, in other words, when she was engaged, although it was more than the engagement that we might think about today. When you were espoused back in Mary and Joseph's day, you entered into a legal agreement that was usually negotiated between the two fathers. And again, we don't know in this case how much Mary and Joseph had to do with it, if they had anything to do with it. Usually it was their two fathers that negotiated the engagement and the marriage and the wedding. The father's, the groom's father was, looking at the prospective bride to make sure that she was going to fit in with the family. The bride's father was negotiating the dowry, the amount of money that would be paid to him by the groom's father, because, first of all, he was losing household help. I mean, daughters worked back in those days, and so he was being compensated for the fact that his daughter was no longer going to work in his household. But he also tried to get enough money in these negotiations so that if his daughter's husband, for some reason, left her or died, what happened was the girl came back to dad. You remember when Naomi and Ruth's husbands died? When Orpha and Ruth's husbands died, Naomi said, "You girls go on back home. Go back to your dads." And so in this day, they negotiated the dowry just in case something happened to the husband and the lady had to come back and live with dad. He tried to negotiate a dowry so that she could be supported if she had to come back home. Now, so they negotiated this deal that, my son is going to marry your daughter, agreed on the dowry. Then they entered into a legal binding contract. They were, and usually the espousal period lasted for a year. Okay, they did not live together, but they were considered married in that year. And the only way you could break that agreement was through divorce. And there was a legal way for you to end an espousal, but it would be equivalent to what we think of today as divorce. So they were in this period of espousal. Okay, the agreement had been struck between their two dads. They were not living together. But they, you know, they were looking forward to when they were going to be married. And during that time, Mary became pregnant. Okay? She was found with child. That's what the Bible says. Now, I've often wondered, how did Joseph find out? I mean, did one day he just notice and say, Mary, are you pregnant? Or did Mary, and who I'm sure knew first before he did, come to her and try to explain what was happening? And I've often thought about how that conversation would have went if Mary would have come to Joseph and said, Joseph, you might have noticed, if you haven't, you will soon, I am pregnant. I want you to know that I have not been unfaithful. What has happened is I am having God's child. I was visited by an angel. An angel told me that I was going to have a son and that the Holy Ghost was going to come up on me and conceive that child. Now, again, guys, just think about what you would think if your fiancé came to you and said, I am pregnant, and this is how it's happened. Just think of the what you would think. Joseph, I mean, sometimes we read about these folks in the Bible and say, well, he was a super Christian. He was a lot different than we are. No, he was flesh and blood. He was a man just like us. And just think about what he would have thought if, and again, I don't know if Mary came to him and told him this, but just think about what he thought when he found out. Now, again, Mary seemed to accept what Gabriel told her. Again, when the angel visited her and said, hey, you're going to have a baby boy. And again, she asked the question, how can it be? I've not known man. And the angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and it's going to conceive your son. And he's going to be God's son. Again, she just started rejoicing. She broke out into song. She just believed what the angel told her and was looking forward to that happening. Now, with Joseph, it was a different story. I mean, again, it's an unbelievable story. It has never happened before, and by the way, it has never happened again. This was the only time in history that it's ever happened. And so I'm sure that he found her story and her explanation unbelievable, that he was disappointed. I mean, this was a girl that he loved. By the way, back in that day, girls would get married as young as 12. And guys, and most people think that Joseph was in his 18, 19, in his late teens. Mary was in her early teens, 13, something like that, and Joseph was 18 or 19. But he was disappointed. This was a young lady that he loved. This was a young lady that he was ready to spend the rest of his life with, and he came to the only conclusion that he could humanly come to. He came to the conclusion she must have been unfaithful. I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, he knew that. I didn't have anything to do with it. And so he said she had to be unfaithful. And so what he decided to do, and the Bible said, and again it said there in verse 19, in verse 20, we'll read it in a minute. While he thought on these things, he thought about it, and he weighed things in his mind, and he said, the best thing I can do, the only thing that I can do, is to divorce her. Is to end this marriage. Now, again, she basically committed adultery. That's what he thought. Adultery, under the law, he could have her stoned. I mean, that was still the law. And so he was ready to end the engagement. And notice what it says there in verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, again, They had not consummated their marriage. They were still living apart, but he was considered her husband during this time of engagement, being a just man, a man that tried to always do right, a man that paid attention to the law of God. And under the law of God, he said, I only got one choice. I can't go through with the marriage. I have to end the engagement. But he says, you know, I don't want to hurt Mary any more than she's going to be hurt. She's going to be a single mom. That was hard enough. I mean, it's hard enough today. It was worse back in those days. And I don't want to add anything to her pain. I don't want to cause her any more hurt. So rather than go through a very public deal where I dissolve the engagement, I try to get my dad's money back, try to get the dowry back, we're just going to quietly end this. We're going to secretly end this. Then look at verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. And again, we don't know who the angel was. If I was going to guess, I would think it would be Gabriel. Gabriel's the one that came to Mary. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Again, Joseph was descended from David, as was Mary. Okay? Different sons of David, but they both were in the line of David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Now, again, I'm sure Joseph did have some fears. The angel was addressing exactly what Joseph felt. I mean, I'm sure he feared, you know, if I go ahead and marry Mary, what am I saying about my relationship with God? I mean, she's an adulterer. How can I be true to my God? How can I be true to the law of God and marry somebody that's been unfaithful to me? I'm sure he might have been afraid what other people might have said. You know, if I go ahead and marry her, everybody's going to assume that I'm the father of the child, that I have done wrong during this time. And if they thought that I wasn't the father, they're going to think that I'm a fool for going ahead and marrying somebody that's been unfaithful to me. And so, again, the angel addressed exactly what Joseph was feeling, his fear. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. In other words, again, remember, he was called her husband, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Same thing that Mary said. Same story that Mary gave. And again, in a dream, I have often wondered if this Joseph was named after the Joseph of Genesis, who God spoke to through dreams. And he says, don't worry, Mary hasn't been unfaithful. What she told you, again, if she told him, what she told you was true. This baby was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Notice what it says in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Second name for the Son of God in these verses. The first one was Christ, Messiah. Jesus, which was the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is my salvation. And notice what it says, for this little baby, he shall save, rescue, or deliver from harm his people, the people that follow him, the people that trust him, from their sins. Now listen, the Jews were expecting their Messiah to save them from their oppressors. They were expecting the Messiah to come back and set up his kingdom. That's what Joseph was expecting as a Jew. The Messiah, come back and save us, our nation. Save us politically. Again, they were under the impressions of the oppression of the Romans at this time. But that's not what the angel said. Joseph, he's going to save his people, the people that follow him, not from a national political standpoint, but he's going to save them from their sins, their deliberate rebellion against God. Now again, we know the rest of the story. One day he is going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to sit on the throne of David. But when he came this time, he came to save his people from their sins. And then the angel goes on, now all this was done. And again, as I studied, One guy pointed this out, and I never had thought about this before. And Don, this might be something for you to think about. He said, verses 22 and 23. Don't know if that's what the angel said or if that's what Joseph thought about after the angel got through talking to him. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, that part of the verse is Isaiah 7:14. And then the rest of it, which being interpreted is God with us. So here's the third name, Christ, Messiah, Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. And what the angel was telling Joseph, hey, listen, God, this just didn't happen with God. God has been planning this for hundreds of years. He told Isaiah to write about it hundreds of years ago that a virgin was going to conceive and bear a son, and his name was going to be Emmanuel. And by the way, if you figured out the Bible quiz for Sunday, this verse, Isaiah 7:14, was said to a king named Ahaz, who was the king of Judah, who was undergoing some problems, and people were coming in. And the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, well, ask God for a sign. And the king says, I'm not going to ask God for a sign. And it sort of made Isaiah a little mad. And Isaiah said, well, then God's going to give you a sign. And that verse is the sign. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep. In other words, he woke up. He was asleep. He had a dream. The angel came to him in a dream. He woke up, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You know when they got married? The day he woke up. Say, preacher, how do you know? I don't know that. But I think Joseph did it immediately. He didn't wait for the rest of the year to pass. When God said through the angel, go ahead, take her as your wife. Go ahead and bring her into your home. Go ahead and live with her. End the espousal period and just, you know, have the wedding. I think he went to Mary that day and said, come on, Mary, we're going to get married. We're not going to wait another day. We're going to do it right now. By the way, that's how God expects us to obey him. Immediately. Joseph didn't say, now, Lord, let's think about this a little bit more. Could you give me another sign? Could you send the angel back and just verify what you said? No, he knew it was from the Lord, and he said, okay, yes, sir, I'm ready. I won't wait another day. I'll go out and do it right now. His obedience also included a couple of other things. In verse 25, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. This child was conceived in a virgin. It would be born of a virgin. And again, we don't know how far along Mary was when they got married, but when they got married, he has the rights as a husband to consummate their marriage. He said, nope, she's going to be a virgin when this little boy is born. That was his second step of obedience. His third step of obedience, and he called his name Jesus, Savior, because he shall save us from our sins. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just trust God and be as obedient as these two teenagers were, who when God came to them with his word, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, when he came to them with his word, they said, okay, if that's your will for my life, it doesn't matter what I have planned. It doesn't matter what I've thought about. It doesn't matter what I've dreamed about. If this is what you want from my life, yes, sir, let's get it done. Let's do it. And if we could have that same kind of trust and obedience, like the song says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What he says, do. Do it immediately. Do it now. Trust him and do it. And again, some wonderful examples of what it means to trust and obey. Glad you were here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. I wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. Be safe as you go home. Praise the Lord. It's still above freezing. At least it was when we came in. You know, last year at this time, we probably would have had 14 inches of snow tonight. But just wet. It's supposed to be even warm tomorrow and a little bit the next day, too. But thank you so much for being here. Let's stand together and have a word of prayer.